Well, good afternoon, friends. I don't know if we have some normal 10:30 or 9 o'clock people who got a little extra today with the time change, but welcome. I'm glad if you're joining online as well to be finishing up our global outreach week together. It's really been a rich week. You already heard Anna talk about that, but I've been so impressed by the amount of people engaged, but also grateful for Sarah and team's work and Nikki and KJ yesterday and the whole team. This morning, I'm going to do something a little different with the message time, and I'm going to get to that in just a second. But our anchor verses are really the why of why we even do Global Outreach Week. I'm going to start with some familiar verses if you've been around church. If not, they might be new to you, from Romans chapter 10. Then we're going to come back to those after what I call the Alliance World Tour in the middle. Here's Romans 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. One believes with the heart, resulting in righteousness. One confesses with the mouth, resulting in salvation. And then verse 13, for everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the crux of why we do Global Outreach Week, or even really why we have a church, because we believe that this is true, that Jesus actually does save people, that there is something that can draw you into a relationship with God, and it's this combination of God's grace to us and our belief in our heart and head and our confession with our mouth that, yes, Jesus is Lord, and somehow that results in salvation. It's a mystery in many ways, but we're saved. We're saved from an eternity separating from God. We're saved from that. We get to be with God forever. We're saved from death and destruction here on earth. We're saved. And so as believers, this is a promise and a truth that really does change everything. We're going to celebrate that at Easter, but it doesn't just stop with our own confession. It leads us to say, well, God, if this is true, then what? And Paul follows that up with his then what, which is somebody else hearing this good news of the gospel. And we're going to get to that in just a few minutes. I'd like to take you around the world today with the Alliance World Tour. Now, some of you have never heard of the Christian and Missionary Alliance, but that's the denomination that this church is a part of. Our former pastor, Jonathan, is now the president of that U.S. portion of the Alliance. And you're going to find out more, whether you wanted to or not today, about the Alliance. I wrote this a few months ago, before even coming to Grace, to encourage our Alliance churches. And I had no idea that when I was going to preach this today, we would be in the middle of what we're in the middle of in global news. And so I'm not referencing it directly in our world tour, but in some ways I am, because we're always in some sort of crisis in our world. Because of brokenness, because of the things in our world, there will be these things that happen until Jesus returns. But I want to encourage you to lift your eyes above what's been currently happening in our news and in our news cycle to what you might describe as like heaven's news cycle. That God is doing something around the world in spite of and sometimes through the things that we see on the news. It's not that they're unimportant. It's not that we shouldn't be burdened or praying. But you know what? The last four times, we've done four of these world tour. The first one our former president wrote, and then I've been a part of the last three in my former job. And every time we wrote one of these, when we were getting ready to go do it for the first time, some major crisis hit. Some crisis in the U.S. or around the world. And it was further evidence that these things are going to continue happening, but God is always at work, and I want to lift your eyes. But I also want to say that these stories are your stories, whether you knew that or not. So you might be new to Grace, or you might be here for the very first time, and you're like, dude, I don't even know what this church is, let alone the denomination. Okay. But if you're a part of Grace Church, then the stories that I'm about to share, I'm going to use like we and our language. And you might say, I don't even know about this global mission stuff, but maybe this week something happened in your heart or head. But I want to tell you, these stories are your stories. If you've never given to missions, I want to encourage you to do that. But you're here, and grace is a part of the story, so you're a part of the story. And so we're gonna look all around the world at what God's doing. I hope to encourage you and challenge you, so without further ado, I'm so grateful to be able to share these stories and that God has different things happening because the world's story is a story of chaos.
Russia has launched a full-scale invasion of Ukraine.
It's one of the worst massacres in the history of Burkina Faso. Al-Qaeda militants gunned down around 200 residents.
Wildfires rage across the Los Angeles area.
The Congolese government says what's already happened amounts to a declaration of war.
Gunshots ring out. Where to run? Where's safe? Who can tell Gaza's children when their suffering will end?
Friends, these realities are being faced by people today in our world. We know that. And they're being faced a lot of times in stuff that doesn't even make the news, including many of our international workers. Whenever I say IW today, it's international worker. It's another word for missionary. But aren't you grateful that these news clips and what we see aren't the end of the story? They're not the end of God's story. There's pain and there's suffering and there's stress in this world. And the stories that I'm going to share this morning don't minimize any of that. But when God gives us eyes to see his kingdom counter-narrative, his different story, the eyes to see his side of the story, we can actually see him at work in the midst of the world's chaos, even when that feels impossible. Together, our mission is to go and make disciples of all nations, to see all of Jesus in all the world. Some seeds that were planted over 140 years ago are finally starting to sprout. New tender shoots can be seen in some areas, and a bountiful harvest has sprung up in others, all because you make it possible for Alliance workers to stay and do the hard work of sowing and nurturing and reaping. In the middle of war and unrest, we have people planting churches, and the Alliance continues to advance the gospel to unreached places. The question is, and it always is a question for us, will we be people who continue to have eyes to see and ears to hear what God is doing in this world? The Alliance's work takes place in the United States and about 70 countries around the world through highly trained workers via four Alliance mission specialized structures: Access, Comma, Envision, and Marketplace Ministries. So did you know that your Alliance family has a nurse on the Nile, a jiu-jitsu champion in the Persian Gulf, creative aquaponics developers, agricultural farmers in the Philippines, kids show creators in Cambodia, pilots, radio broadcasters, teachers, vet tech business owners, all for the sake of proclaiming Jesus' name? That's what the kingdom of God looks like. God is present in the chaos, but God is also above the chaos. So I'm gonna share with you regional stories from around the world, but before we do that, let's take a quick look at the overall landscape of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. We currently have almost 700 international workers sent from the U.S. Alliance. 82% of those workers are serving the least reached parts of the world, many of them among 200 unreached people groups. Last year, Alliance missions had 1.4 million gospel interactions with people. 54 new international workers were sent last year. That's more than we even prayed for. We also prayed for two new open doors, and God opened five. After the first year of what we called the Now campaign, 50 new churches had been planted in the U.S., and then 58 new church plant projects were added to the pipeline. And we praise God because we know that every good and perfect gift is from above. We're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Alliance World Fellowship, which is all of the Alliance churches around the world, 25,000 of them. And we continue to honor the 100 anniversaries of gospel access in places like Cambodia, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Colombia that have taken place over the last couple of years. Also in our Alliance Missions World, Comma Services, that you heard about this week, has celebrated 50 years of transformed lives and restored communities. This is the fourth Alliance World Tour that I've been a part of, and I'm excited to be able to share with you some of the stories that we've seen just over the last like 18 months in Alliance ministry. You may not know this, but a lot of our workers, I would say most of our workers, are in very sensitive locations. So because of security reasons, we live stream our services. I can't use their names. I can't use specific country names, so you're going to hear me refer to regions of the world. And I can't even show some of the specific photos out of security, but that just shows you where and how some of our workers are getting the job done. Okay, let's jump in. Latin America. Latin America has become a sending continent. We have over 180 workers from Latin America that had now been sent around the world. So we praise God for meaningful and impactful presence that empowers local believers to share the gospel and then go to the nations. Hundreds of people in countries like Colombia, Chile, Dominican Republic received training to sharpen and expand their evangelism skills through Bible storytelling and orality. Through just one mission conference in Chile, over 200 people were involved in a biblical training. Through generous support of church planting and pastoral training in Paraguay, over a dozen ministry leaders have been developed through Alliance Ministry Institute of Paraguay. This past year, over 200 pastors and church planters were supplied with bicycles in Cuba through bike evangelism efforts. Also in Cuba, two shipping containers filled with food, medicine, supplies, clothes, and construction materials were distributed to hundreds of struggling families. In total, 18,000 pounds of food, 2,000 pounds of medicine, 900 pounds of toiletries, 4,800 pounds of clothes and shoes, and 52,000 pounds of construction material and tools were delivered to the people in need across Cuba. The generosity of Alliance people fostered the education of 8 graduates this year from the National Church Seminary in Uruguay, and more than 40 other students are now enrolled in coursework that prepares them for pastoral and other key leadership roles in their churches. 5,000 people in one region in Colombia now have reliable and safe access to clean water for the very first time. And that strengthens the reputation of the local church among people who don't yet follow Jesus. Among Access Ministry in Mexico, a neighborhood prayer walk led to a mute 6-year-old girl speaking for the very first time. And she's actually bilingual. So when she started speaking in Spanish and English. It's crazy. So like Deuteronomy 10 tells us, God's the one we praise because he performs these great and awesome wonders. Our work in Asia is also full of his goodness and grace. In 2 Southeast Asian countries, theological education by extension has impacted 4,800 students. Over 2,200 of them are now graduates prepared to lead vital ministries among their own people. At 3 youth centers in a war-torn region of Southeast Asia, education, shelter, and food was provided to 98 children who were also nurtured in their spiritual growth. We also have big changes happening. I don't know if you know this, but in Indonesia, the capital of the country is moving. So imagine the chaos of moving a country's capital. What does that even entail? A lot of moving parts. But our people are in it. They're actually moving to the new city to go and be present. Why? Because the new doors opening in this relocation give unprecedented access to 5 people groups that we've never been able to reach before. We're grateful for our workers who began to minister among a people group in Indonesia over 60 years ago. They were the very first outsiders to enter the area. This past year, through the support of a multi-generational project that began in the 1970s, a Bible translation project, this community received their very first copies of the Bible available in their native dialect, Ngalik. Also praiseworthy, you can clap if you want, it's 12 o'clock. We got no time limit. Also praiseworthy, his sustained gospel presence among unreached people group in Cambodia that resulted in the baptisms of new believers from 3 people groups over the last year. For one of those groups, the baptisms of 12 people on Easter means the total number of believers in that people group went from 6 to 18. In another Southeast Asian country, more than 50 refugee teachers attended a workshop this year to receive encouragement and vocational training, transforming their communities with the gospel. We praise the Lord for sustainable presence and opportunities like a feminine hygiene training for over 90 Rohingya women in one South Asian country. And we continue praying for areas like this one where the alliance is still at work, but some of our workers have recently had to leave because of famine and violence. In 1975, the alliance was forced to evacuate Vietnam due to war. But the planted seeds continue to multiply, and we currently have almost 2,500 churches serving 1.2 million believers in the country of Vietnam. We currently have 23 workers in Japan. You've heard some of those stories from our friends Don and Hazel. And a new online Alliance Bible Institute is equipping Japanese, Filipino, and Latino students for ministry in the country. We're just grateful for amazing gospel fruit being born in these places. The Lord's also doing incredible things through our Alliance people serving in Africa. This past year in Côte d'Ivoire, the Alliance Bible Institute had 63 student pastors receive their diplomas. In one West African country, over 40 students from an English center are studying God's word every week, many for the first time. This past year, one of our IW pilots sponsored transportation for the Bangalow Hospital staff 99 times, 4 times for those seeking medical care, 3 times for Bible translators, and 35 times for other collaborators, and they've only got one airplane. He's a busy guy. Hope Clinic in Zao in Guinea receives between 80 and 120 patients a day for outpatient care. During the first 7 months of last year, 305 people came to the chaplain for prayer, and 15 of them accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Throughout this past year, 4 men were ordained from an underground network of house churches in North Africa, becoming the first from their people group ever ordained by the Alliance. And although believers in this displaced community are commonly ostracized or worse for professing faith in Jesus, over the last year alone, these house churches baptized 21 new believers. The first West African regional farming God's Way training was held this past May. 60 participants from 26 countries were represented, including many international workers serving with Kama. The Fulani people are one of the least reached people groups on the planet, and they're scattered all over Africa. We're ministering to them wherever we can, but we're also ministering to them in Ohio. There are a bunch of Fulani people who have moved to Cincinnati and Columbus, and our workers, God has brought the Fulani to us like that in many areas of the world, and we're leaning in, and the fruit is becoming more and more evident. The world's story of chaos has tried to prevail in many instances. One being, and many of you are aware of what has happened in Burkina Faso. We heard about that this week if you were around. The National Church has been ravaged by attacks, killing many believers, killing 9 pastors. 2 are still missing. 200 churches have been burned and displaced, but the church is still standing strong, and the Holy Spirit continues to work, and they're trusting in the Lord for provision and comfort. But I ask you to continue to pray for them and for our friends Andrew and Esther, who are a rock for those pastors and who have stayed in the country to minister to them. But that is a very, very difficult situation. In one Central Asian country where Alliance workers have been present and faithful for years, there hasn't been much fruit of tangible witness. But this summer, during a sign language camp, a deaf tutor accepted Christ. Not only is he the first person these workers have seen follow Jesus, he's a local, he's also deaf, which is an incredible double, triple portion. As many of you know, the deaf population is one of the least reached in the world. Also in Central Asia, international workers have been active in greenhouse planning, development, and operations with a specialty in aquaponic and hydroponic growing systems. They're raising tilapia and catfish in their systems. They cater to local restaurants. In a Middle Eastern country where our workers have been present for a very long time, there have been 12 baptisms in one city this past September alone. there are more people that have come to faith over the past couple of years than all of the previous years of international worker presence combined in this country. So God is at work in the middle of some of these very difficult places. GCF support enabled a Marketplace Ministries IW in the Middle East to provide a place of employment for a woman, eventually leading her to be taught and discipled by IWs, and she was baptized this past year. Our Alliance workers have been discipling leaders like Amir, who, after meeting with our workers through ESL classes and deliberating for years about whether to become a Jesus follower, has now himself led 13 from his community to faith in Jesus. Gospel Presence was established in one Middle Eastern city where, until this year, Alliance workers had never been permanently present. Alliance regional leaders in the Middle East took exploratory trips to two new countries where they're seeking to send new workers. Our desire for new open doors in the Alliance is ongoing, and the leaders take that seriously and prayerfully. One of those new open doors is in Manchester, England, an extremely secular environment, a city of 3 million people, where we have recently launched new ministry, intentionally fostering community in creative ways among diverse groups of people. And I'm thrilled that Rachel and I and our boys are joining the Grace short-term trip to Manchester this June. And we're excited to see what God's doing in person. In Germany, where only 2% of people are evangelical, through the generosity of Alliance people, an Alliance church was provided a new facility where it has more room to house its growing ministries. Despite extreme resistance to the gospel in the region, the church is celebrating professions of faith and baptisms and ongoing discipleship for many who are tasting the goodness of God for the first time. By sending and sustaining Alliance workers in Northeast Germany, two new Alliance workers were launched into Rostock this past year, where God opened a new door for gospel advance in that city. In Eastern Europe, 31 Alliance workers are present in 8 nations. Because of them, thousands of people are impacted by church planting, theological education, language classes, relief work, life-saving swim education, sign language education, and community development. This past summer in Kyiv, Ukraine, which is always in the news, but maybe you didn't hear this one, 4 local churches held a joint service and baptized 35 people, ages 12 to 92. And we praise God. Yeah, that's good. And we praise God that the number of Alliance churches in Ukraine has actually grown from 12 to 29 in the last 3 years. This past year alone, 8 new churches were planted. You're not going to see that on Fox News or CNN. You're just not. In the Alliance, we believe in partnership, as Scripture tells us that we can't do anything alone. The Ukrainian church hosted 22 camps this past year where the gospel was preached to the children of hurting and displaced families, some of whom live within 5 miles of war zone front lines. Because as Galatians 6:2 says, we carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Last but not least, we praise God that the church is still advancing in the United States. We have 378,000 worshipers and 84,000 who attend online to Alliance churches. Here are some rapid-fire stories for you. Remember, our churches are not all like Grace. We have rural and urban and small and large. Some meet in houses and some in very large buildings. And I wish that you could hear every story of these churches that are part of our family, but here's just a couple. Deaf ministries have been fueled in Waco, Texas, where an Alliance pastor who is deaf himself has begun meeting with community groups and schools to introduce his new church plant. In 2024, Riverside Church in Minnesota, our friends there, baptized 166 people. And after a decade of persistent faith and evangelistic fire, they're growing through a similar model as us, through multi-site model. At one of those site launches with their new campuses, they had over 700 people attend service in person that first day, and 44 people made decisions to follow Jesus that day. Really cool. The first ever multicultural ministry summit took place at the Hmong District office in Thornton, Colorado this past August. Praise God for growing ministry and diversity in our Alliance family. The ministry center that's right next to our national office in Columbus opened in May and has been a hosting spot for three different ministries, including a French-speaking Congolese church plant and a Spanish-speaking church plant. We are a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. You've heard me talk about Acts 1:8 recently. And the beauty of our multi-ethnic family is on full display. The Alliance is honored to have 75 chaplains serving across all branches of the military. Last year, our Alliance chaplains had nearly 1,400 preaching opportunities, conducted 23,400 counseling sessions, and we rejoice that through their service, 492 decisions across the armed forces were made for Christ, and 159 individuals were baptized. That's cool. A Haitian Alliance church in Springfield, Ohio, has grown so rapidly, they've had attendees sitting in the parking lot just to try to attend services. African American, Latino, Asian, and Native American leaders established new churches that speak directly to their own community's cultural and spiritual needs. In places such as La Mesa, California, Austintown, Ohio, and Pahoa, Hawaii. So what are we going to do next? What new doors will God open? Which workers, maybe some in this room or watching online today, will be called to the nations? The question is, are we still listening to his still small voice? We're grateful for Jesus' reminder, and I want to remind you today of John 16:33. In this world, you will have troubles, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So the question for us, Grace Church, is what role will we play in the next phase of the story God is writing all over the world through our Alliance family? I want to encourage us to continue to pray for these stories and these people. Let's keep on worshiping and making Jesus our number one priority. And let's find ways to serve both locally and around the world. We are a part of these stories. So we pray prayers like, may his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and may we be faithful until the King returns. Thank you, Lauren, for varsity level slides today. As we move to the end, I want to take us back to Romans 10 and just ask you what God might be stirring in your own heart today. Remember, Paul says, anyone who believes on him, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will not be put to shame, will be saved. And then he says in verse 14, here's his so what. How then can they call on him they haven't believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach without being sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. What Paul is saying is when the gospel takes root in our hearts, when we start to believe that this is truly good news, we start asking questions like, how can everybody hear this good news? We start caring less just about our own journey and start realizing we have neighbors and friends and people around the world who will never hear. And so he just kind of outlines the formula. Because it's true that God could just give a dream to somebody. But normally, somebody comes to faith in Jesus because of the witness of someone else. Someone explains the gospel to them. And so Paul just says, so how are they supposed to put their faith in Jesus if no one's there to explain it to them? And how are the people supposed to explain it if they're not actually going to go? And how are they going to go unless somebody sends them? And so really what Paul's doing is covering all of us. Because however you feel about missions in general, Paul is saying, as a Christian, we care because we start caring about what God cares about and what God cares about his people. And so he invites us to join him. And so all of us, some of us are going to be sent to go. Rachel and I met with about 25 people from Grace this week who said, I'm feeling a call to the nations at some level. Some high schoolers, some in college. And I wonder who he'll raise up from Grace over this next season to go to places like we saw today. And then I wonder who he's going to raise up to be senders. Because some of your kids are going to be like, yeah, I'll go. And some of your parents are going to be like, no, you're not. And so it covers all of us. Because it'd be easier for me just to go like, yeah, I'm going to go than to send my own kid. Who was one of those 25 who talked to us? That's where it gets real. But my invitation to you is twofold this morning as we close. First, please do not be taken prisoner by the news cycle and let yourself and your soul be completely formed only by what you see on social media or the news. I'm not saying you shouldn't pay attention. I'm not saying we shouldn't pray and we shouldn't care. We should. But some of us get taken prisoner by these things, not realizing that God is still in control. Jesus is still on the throne, and God's still doing all these things, bringing people to himself in spite of what's going on. He invites us to see differently with different lenses, so I want to invite you into that this week. Secondly, I want you to consider whatever he's inviting you into as it relates to the globe. Some of you, for the first time this week, are like, I guess I should care about this stuff. And that's actually a great first step. So I want you to care. I want you to pray. I want you to consider giving. And I want you to consider what your role would be. Some of you are new to faith, I get it. But all of these stories take a whole group of people, and I just ask you to take seriously what we hear in the Word. Like, how are they supposed to hear? Jesus' comment in Matthew 24:14 is brought up a lot in missions weeks for a reason. Here's what he said. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all peoples, and then the end will come. What he means is, this gospel will go out all over the world, and then he will return as king. And friends, we have never been closer to that moment than we are right now. We're ticking off the people groups who have never heard. It's getting closer and closer and closer. We don't do that to like twist Jesus' arm so that he'll come back and rescue us, as if it's all about us. That's not what we're talking about. We do it so everybody has an opportunity to hear before he returns, and so that we can join with him in reigning forever, like we've already sung this morning. And so we're gonna sing a song in a minute. I'll tell you about that, but that is what we're partnering with: Jesus' return, and what role will we play? What will he invite us to do? So let's pray together and then we'll respond. Lord, we do pray for what's happening in our world today. We pause and realize that it might feel so far from us, but there are people in harm's way today, and we pray that there would be peaceful resolution very soon. We pray for protection for everybody involved in the conflict. We pray that you'd raise up your church. Would you protect pastors and workers, and would your kingdom come and your will be done, which is a peaceful kingdom, even now. So we pray for them. And God, we pray for us. I pray that we've been encouraged today to see that there's a bigger picture than we normally see. You're doing something all over the world, and may we not miss it. May we be courageous in the way we say yes to you. I don't know what you're saying to everybody in this room. Maybe you're calling some to go be missionaries. Maybe you're calling some to say, man, I got to give differently or think differently or pray differently. Whatever it is, God, I pray that we would say yes to you and respond to you, because Jesus, you are coming to reign. And your salvation is good news. So may we take that seriously and join you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I mentioned we're going to sing this song. It's called "The King is Coming." And it links the fact that this King, Jesus, is going to return just like he promised. And what we do to prepare the way for his return is join him on mission. That's what we do. We join him on bringing even a taste of what the kingdom looks like when it breaks forward to reconcile all things to himself. We start in that today, right now. And then he does return. So we worship him, the King, and we ask, what are you asking me to do? So if you're able, let's stand together and let's respond.